This church has such a special meaning to me. So much things have happened in this church to shape my life. And I want to thank this church family for being a family that welcomes me back every time. It's wonderful to come home, and you give me that coming home feeling every time. My grandma used to be, or actually my Oma used to be, the church secretary here. My dad preached here for 20 years. My high school years were experienced here. This is where I found out what a personal relationship with Christ was like, and that's a big deal, right? My life has been shaped by the teachers in this room, by the people who model what living for Christ or living Christ-like is. Those are people in this room, and I'm very thankful for you. The things that I'm most thankful for is that we're still partners. We are partners for the gospel. We are partners for the kingdom. And 16 years ago, when I moved to Belgium, you guys said, hey, we want to be a part of that. And we are so thankful for that, because mission work is not an easy work, especially in Western Europe. And after working there for 6 years, we were a church that looked like this. In 2011, we had been there for, if my math is correct, 7 years. And that 7 years, after 7 years, you hope that things have grown, right? But we were still meeting in our house. Our living room was still big enough for our group. We hadn't had any baptisms yet. And that's discouraging, but you guys stuck with us. And so because of that, because of God and his willingness to provide growth, we are now a church of about 60 people. And so we are very thankful that we get to be a partner together with you. This church is still a growing church, still a young church. People moving in from all over the world. As you can see, about half of our group is from Ghana. They're learning Flemish as well. They're getting used to a new culture as well. And talking in different cultures, different languages can be a challenge, but we all serve one God. And so I bring greetings from them, from the Gemeente van Christus Gent, to you guys this morning. They've already had their church service because of the time difference. But I bring their greetings to you and their thanks to you for being a church who partners in the gospel for that. So thank you for being a church that was willing to send us and willing to welcome us back. If you want to help us out, we don't call it furlough anymore. We call it home assignment, because that sounds a little bit more work-like. Furlough, we were let out of prison, but it doesn't feel like a prison, I promise. But one thing you can help with is, one thing my kids have told me, the hardest part of this trip is they say, everybody knows our name, and we don't know anybody's name. So help us out with your name. You can expect from me that I know your name. If I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you, but help my kids out so that they can learn your name. My wife would probably appreciate it too, if you help her out with your name. This morning I want to talk about pain. And I know it's not a very popular thing to talk about, but the last couple of years we've experienced some pretty heavy blows in our family. And last year was a year where, you know, you wonder what is going on, because you find yourself on the ground and it's really hard to get back up. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about our experience, about the pain that we experienced, the worry, and I want to talk about our heavenly healer, because I believe that God is more powerful than our pain, that God works through difficult moments. And I think we all can identify with pain, right? We've all experienced pain in one way or another. Go ahead and raise your hand so you know you're not alone. We've all experienced pain, right? So what do we do with that? I mean, we're Christians. We're always supposed to be happy, right? We have Jesus. We have this amazing power. And the world looks at us and says, why aren't you happy? Or why are you like that? And what do you do with pain and suffering in the world when you say your God is so good? And that's a hard question. And we have to be honest that we don't know all the answers, but we do have experiences, right? We can give them stories of times when we felt pain and stories about how our God has healed us, how God has comforted us in those times. So I want to spend some time talking about pain. Not the most popular thing, but I think we need to have a proper response to when people ask us, well, what about that pain? Or even a proper response when we are in that pain and we don't know what to do. This is one of the most common questions asked of us in Belgium. Belgium has religious roots, but has become very secular, and many people say, we don't need God. We have our affluence. We have science. We have everything to provide our own explanations. But they don't have the answers when it comes to pain. And they say, and so they kind of lash out at God with that. And they say, well, how can you believe in God when there is so much pain in this world? But I believe God gives us good answers to that question. But sometimes we need to practice them. Now, I know most of you guys have Band-Aids somewhere in the house. We're prepared for pain, right? If you have kids or grandkids, you probably have them in the car, in your purse, in the cupboard, in the bedroom. I feel like this last week I was with my family and toddlers are falling over like every 5 seconds. We use a lot of Band-Aids because we're prepared for the pain. There's going to be tears. But we don't want to see the pain on our children's faces, right? Well, last year was kind of our worst nightmare because we took a child to the hospital. And I had totally expected it to be Isaac because he is prone to violence. And so I had kind of prepared myself for that, but it was actually Gideon who we took to the hospital. And he had kind of been sickly for about 2 weeks. It was Easter break, and so we just thought he was tired from school, and he was taking a lot of naps, and which was not like him, but we thought maybe he just kind of caught a bug. And then at the end of those 2 weeks, he came to me and he said, Papa, I can't see very well. And I said, let's go to the doctor. We went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you know what, your symptoms sound like diabetes. And I said, well, but diabetes is like, well, and I didn't say this, I thought this, diabetes is for old fat people, isn't it? It's not for kids. And I said, well, let's just wait for the blood work, thinking I knew more than the doctor. And the blood work came back, and he has type 1 diabetes, which is a diabetes which means that his own body has attacked his pancreas, and his pancreas doesn't make any more insulin. And we need insulin. All of us have this amazing system in our bodies that every time we eat carbs or sugar, our body needs that sugar to go into the cell. The only way it can go into the blood cell to give us energy is with insulin. So your body is regulating that every day. If too much insulin comes out, you'll faint or go into a coma. If you don't have enough, the same thing will happen. So your body is continually regulating that. And Gideon's system had stopped. And we took him to the ER, and he looked terrible. This is him at the ER. What kind of parents take pictures like this? But we felt like we needed to remember it. He shuffled into the hospital. I didn't have to carry him. He's a brave boy. I don't know how he did it. When they measured his glucose levels, his sugar levels, our normal level is between 60 and 160. His was at 760. His blood was kind of like syrup. And so he was having a hard time. And I remember being in the elevator with one of the doctors, and I said, so is this curable? And the doctor said, no. And so what do you do when your son is almost in a coma and the doctor says, this is not curable? Well, I knew insulin was the key, and so I was waiting for them to put insulin into his body to help him out, and he got that. And after 2 days, his levels were normal again, but we had to wait. We had to stay in the hospital for about a week to learn how to live with diabetes, type 1 diabetes. But I was broken. And you try and put on a good face for your son. You try and be strong. But as you watch him do all of his injections into his stomach or into his leg, you realize, I cannot fix this. I'm kind of a guy who likes to fix things. If you know me, you know that I've remodeled our house. I like working on things. Our AC wasn't working in our car, so I pushed some buttons after watching things on YouTube, and it works again. Well, I couldn't do that with my son, and so I was hurting. And I kind of like to think, why am I hurting? He's the one with diabetes type 1. But I went to church that Sunday, and I had the sermon. We take turns in Ghent, and I wept through the sermon. And because I needed healing, I needed to read about a God who is our healer. Now, thankfully, God tells us that he heals. He makes it clear that he is the healer in our lives. So I want to share some of those scriptures with you this morning, just to be reminded that we have a God who takes care of us in our most painful situations, a God who fixes things when we can't fix things. So I want you to look at Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 with me. You can follow along in your Bible or up on the screen here. Because the first thing I want us to focus on this morning is that God provides healing and life. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. Worship the Lord your God and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you. God is the one who takes away the sickness. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 says it this way. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God provides healing. But there's a condition here. If my people, what? If they are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray. How often is your first reaction to humble yourself? My first reaction is usually like, I'm here, I can do this. Let's take care of this, even though I have no idea what I'm doing. God wants us to humble ourselves and pray to him. So we have a clear promise here that he will heal our land. The next scripture from Matthew 4:23. We get to read about who our Savior is. And his message to us was this good news, right? That we were reconciled to him, that our sins could be washed clean. But this wasn't the only thing he focused on. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. He didn't have to do that, right? He could have just come, shown his authority, and said, you guys need to listen to me. This is truth. But he didn't just do that. He saw the need in the people for healing. I believe he's still doing that today. I believe he knows our need for the gospel, but knows our need for healing as well. He can take my sickness away. He can heal our land. He will restore us. I don't know where you are. I don't know what kind of pain you're in right now. I don't know how many ibuprofens you've taken this morning. I don't know what kind of loneliness you feel, what kind of pain you feel because of people who have left you behind. Maybe people who have disappointed you. There's a lot of different pain out there. And I believe God is still healing us the way that Jesus did in Galilee. But what about Gideon then? What healing does he get to receive? That still doesn't seem very fair, right? God promises healing, and yet Gideon has this for the rest of his life. Where is the comfort in that? We could respond with curling up, focused on our frustration and on the pain, because the answer is not easily seen. To see some of the answer, we need to look at the broader picture. And I've learned that focusing in on the pain doesn't help anything, but looking at the things around us will help us understand where God is at work. After a week of being in the hospital, Gideon's glucose levels were back to normal. Now, how can that be? He was dying, and he would have died, except for there's this thing called insulin. Now, do you know where insulin comes from? As of 1982, we didn't have insulin. That's not that long ago. We had insulin from pigs and from cows, and that helped, but it wasn't a great fit. But thanks to DNA research, thanks to God's giving us the ability to know our world, right, to be able to discover our world, they realized that they could grow insulin in a lab using the E. coli bacteria. Now, usually when we hear E. coli, we kind of keep our distance, right? But we use this thing that's dangerous for us to make something that heals Gideon every day. He has to give himself an injection 4 times a day to be able to keep his glucose levels right. And that's because of that knowledge, because of somebody... thank the scientists around you, right? Because somebody looked, searched in a lab for a solution. I'm so thankful for those people. And I'm thankful for a God who's given us the ability to find out these things, to see these things. God shows his healing nature by providing us a world that is discoverable, a world that can offer healing. And you are a part of that world. When you help provide healing for your children, for your parents, for the people around you in need, you are being Christ-like. You are imitating God. It's up to us to see the healing that God provides around us. When we don't understand that God is our heavenly healer, we'll start to do crazy things. We tend to try and fix things ourselves and kind of get really frustrated when it doesn't work out, right? When we walked into the hospital for the first time with Isaac to visit Gideon for the first time, Isaac put his hand on his mouth because he was afraid of catching what he had. Now, diabetes 1 is not catchable. It's not even DNA, can't even be passed on in DNA. It's just luck of the draw. And so Isaac putting his hand in front of his mouth wasn't going to help anything. And we kind of chuckle at that sometimes, but we do the same thing, right? We try and heal ourselves or protect ourselves from bad situations. But in all reality, we need to trust God to be our heavenly healer. We walk through life scared of what is out there. We know there are bad things, and so we cover our mouth trying to make a solution for ourselves. But in our ignorance, God tries to reassure us that He is our heavenly healer. Ignorance is not fun, and the pain of sickness is not enjoyable whatsoever. So what do we do with that? Being the guy who likes to fix things, I want to give some things to you that you can do in these situations. So the first thing is thanking God. Thank God, and He will focus our eyes. Trying to work through what had happened to Gideon, I realized that I needed to look at the broader picture, and I had to be thankful for the things that I had in my life. Gideon was really good at that already. As we were sitting in the hospital, he was telling me, he was showing me how thankful he was for how things were, and I'm like, okay, how is he this focused on the thankful things, and I'm not? How many of us here have ever been thankful for our pancreas? You guys are so ungrateful. I did not know that my pancreas did that. I probably made jokes in my younger years about my pancreas. But it's pretty important. We need to be thankful. We need to have eyes for the things around us that God is doing. We need to see those things. And what's the next scripture? I don't remember if I include. Yeah, okay. Luke 17. I want to ask you to read with me here. Here's a story where the focus is on thankfulness. And Jesus, he's almost tongue-in-cheek here. He's almost kind of, you can read the frustration in his voice that we are not thankful enough. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19 says this. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Only 1 out of 10. I could just see Jesus being like, "Wait, did the healing not work? Did I say it wrong? God, help me out here." But no, all 10 were cleansed. Have we noticed our sickness before? And have we listened to Jesus' command to go and be healed and then forgotten to thank him? I have to admit, I've been guilty of that. Sometimes we pray for things for months, right? And then as soon as it's resolved, we're like, ah, and then we go on forgetting to be like this leper, this healed leper, who came back praising God in a loud voice. How loud is our voice when we realize that God has answered our prayer, that God has healed us? So that's my challenge for you this morning. First thing you can do is thanking God, and it will focus your eyes. Let's bring honor to Him today by praising God with a loud voice. Now, I know most of you guys have a phone in your pocket, and I want to challenge you to put a reminder on there. One time this week, maybe every day this week, choose a time when you know you can thank God. Maybe noon is a good time to thank God for that food you have. Maybe it's right before you go to bed, or maybe right when you get up. Most of us aren't very thankful right when we get up, so maybe that's not a good time. Write a note. I think there's cards around you. Write a note. If you don't want to put it on here, write a note. Keep it in your pocket this week. Every time you put your hand in your pocket and be like, "Oh yeah, this paper," write on there what you're thankful for. Let's honor God with our thankfulness. In our times of pain, when we honor God with our thankfulness, we will be focusing away from the pain and giving God the glory for the healing that he's provided in the past. It'll make it easier for him to heal us in the future. What's our next scripture? I kind of trimmed down the scripture. Okay, good. Read Psalms 118, verse 5 through 7 with me. Here David is describing anguish, and I think we've all experienced this kind of anguish before, but I want you to see how he deflects the pain, how he recognizes the pain, and then gives us the hope of our heavenly healer. He says, "In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me, and he is my helper." We don't have to be in the bondage of pain. When we realize what we can be thankful for, we know that we are free from that pain. And when I look at Gideon, I've seen that time and time again, because when the nurse came in and said, "All right, well, you're going to do this shot," I was ready. I was pulling up my sleeves. And she was like, "No, your son can do it." And he, without blinking, did it. He knew what had to be done. That's courage. And do I have the courage to realize that God has given me everything I need for my healing? Do I have the courage to humble myself and pray and ask for the healing that he wants to give? The psalm writer speaks hope into our hearts and says that we can be set free by the God that we have. As we wait for healing, let's list the things that we need to be thankful for. And the last thing I want to ask you is that you be available for those in pain. I want to ask you to shut up and show up. Now, in my house growing up, we were not allowed to say shut up. We're still not allowed to say it in my household. But I think this is applicable. I read this somewhere, and I think it's so right. Sometimes we just need to be quiet, and we need to show up. We all know people in our lives who need healing, right? We all know people in our lives who are in pain. And they need us. We just need to be there for them. We need to be, we don't need to be absent. We need to be present. And so I want us to be challenged to be people who shut up and show up. In the first weeks of Gideon's diagnosis, I heard all these reactions from different people. There were people at church, my students that I meet with during the week. Our neighbors asked us what was going on with Gideon because they'd seen it on Facebook. And the reactions were terrible. They were like, "How horrible that he has this disease," or, "What is he going to do for the rest of his life?" Or, "Is he going to be able to play sports?" Or, "What, is this going to affect his job?" Or, "Is he going to die an early death?" And I was like, "Please don't talk anymore. And please don't talk to my son. I don't want him to hear these words." We have the worst responses, don't we, sometimes? And sometimes we need to shut up and show up. And sometimes we're like, "Well, I'm afraid to say the wrong thing." Well, don't say anything. Show up, and God will be able to work through us in those situations. Can I have the next picture? Oh, there's the next picture. Gideon was thankful. He's thankful for these sandwiches. The time that he cried, am I allowed to tell this, Gideon, when you cried in the hospital? The times that he cried was when he found out that he couldn't eat till tomorrow, and the time that he found out that he would have to be at the hospital for the week because it meant that he couldn't go to school on Monday. Those were the things that he was sad about. Here he's very thankful for a sandwich. This was his first sandwich, so he was in a good mood then. People came and showed up for us. People from our church came and visited us, and they just sat with us. Gideon's friends from school got on a bus and then on a tram and came up, found him in this huge complex of buildings at the hospital, and just did puzzles with him. People showed up for us. And that's what meant so much to us. Who can you show up for? Let's look at that 2 Timothy verse. Now, Paul is known for being a little dramatic, and I think he might be a little bit over-dramatic here. He's been in prison, but this is what he writes about his experience in prison, and what he writes about somebody who showed up for him. So read with me. "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me." Now, that's a little dramatic. Everyone in the province of Asia, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. There's a reason why we don't use those names today. Paul didn't have very many good things to say about them. "May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not afraid of my chains. On the contrary, when I was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Onesiphorus was a guy who got it. He showed up, right? He showed up for Paul when he needed it the most. And I don't know what it was like to find somebody without a cell phone in Rome at that time. I don't know how many different prisons there were. Onesiphorus had to do some work to find him. There weren't very good facilities in the prison, so I don't know what refreshed all meant, but it probably meant bringing food and clothes, just a way to clean him. And Onesiphorus knew that he needed that. Who do you know that needs refreshing? Who can you show up for? We all need someone to show up for us. I want to challenge you to be people who show up for other people this week. And that is what our job looks like in Belgium. We try and be there to show up for people. Now, my job is not to shut up, so I talk probably a little bit too much as a missionary in Belgium, but we want to show up. And it's clear in different people's lives that we want to tell you about. We're here just for a short time. But if you want to hear more about what's going on there, just ask us about Matteo and Martino. Ask us about Tobias, about Dora and Stephen. We want to tell you their stories. But I want to tell you about Malika before I close here. Malika is a single mom, three kids. She kind of has anxiety coming outside of her house. And we've met her because she is the mom of one of Gideon's friends, Tobias. And Gideon invited Tobias to come with him to Bible camp last year during the summer. So they went to camp together. And at the end of the week, Tobias called his mom and said, "Mom, I'm not leaving." And she said, "Have they kidnapped you?" And he said, no, I just love it here so much. You have to come. Next week is family camp week. You're going to love it." And I was like, she barely dares to get out of her apartment. There's no way she's going to go 2 hours to a place she's never been to before. But he convinced her. And she went to family camp week. She and her daughter and her son Tobias, and they loved it. They just soaked it up. And at the end of the week, she was like, "Is this for real? Like, are you people genuinely taking good care of each other like this? People in my apartment building are terrible to each other. But you guys are nice to each other. How does this happen? How does this work?" And we were able to tell her that Jesus made the difference in our lives. And ever since then, she has come to church in Ghent. The church in Ghent is three blocks from her house, so it's perfect. And she has come back. She actually was just at camp this last week. We weren't there, but they went to enjoy the time at family camp with her. She brought all three of her children this time. And I think in my mind, I was like, this lady has problems. She's never going to get out of the door. And God was like, "No, I've placed Gideon there to teach Tobias about healing, to teach Malika about healing." And so we get to see that firsthand. And that's the privileged place that we get to be in. Because you guys sent us, you guys trust us to go over there to share the gospel. And so we want to share those stories again with you. So talk to us today whenever you get a chance. We have some picture books with us. We want to share some pictures with you. If you have any questions at all about our work, please ask us about that. I want to close with a prayer real quick. So pray with me. Dear Lord and Father, sometimes we use pain as an excuse to look away from you. We use the sickness in our lives to come up with reasons that we don't need you or that we don't want you. But Lord, we know that you are the one who heals. Lord, we admit that we need you, and we are praying to you. We are humbling ourselves that we need the healing that only you can give. We pray for inspiration this week, that we can see the things around us that we can be thankful for. We pray for open eyes this week, that we can see the people in our lives that need your healing, that need us to show up for them. Help us to do that. Help us to have the courage to do that, that we can be present in other people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.